This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Now Tom Hart of ESPN, the SEC Network, joining us here on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. We went back to our childhood, something we got, Tom, with the early programming at ESPN, especially waking up in the morning. And we got some different stuff than we get now. This is one example, and let's see if you remember exactly what this show was.
Bodies in Motion with Gil Janklowitz.
Today's workout, and greetings to everybody. Today's workout is devoted to mothers, because right there on my right, on my your left,
yeah,
we have
Priscilla. I don't think he's even paying attention.
Bodies by Jake.
Tom?
We have my mom.
Bodies by Jake.
That is not
Bodies by Jake, right?
Bodies by Jake. No. No.
What is it?
It's Jihad. Bodies in Motion with Jihad, and they stood on the little mats there on the beach. And they did the body weight stuff, and that was before we got Denise Austin, and we also had the other one with Keanu. But was that a part of your viewing habits, waking up and watching early morning fitness on ESPN?
No, that was not part of my schedule. Who would be, by the way, if you just chose from a library of, you know, like friends of the show that are ESPN employees, which would be the most entertaining trio? I mean, I think if me and Cole, for example, got up there and tried to lead people in workout, it would be hysterical. Like, I would just be a straight dad bod guy. Like, maybe, like, hey, three refs, I'm going to sit over here and have a Truly and watch you guys go. And Cole would be grunting nonstop. I mean, I think we might want to take this to program. It has potential.
I'm in. A little workout show. Put it over on Plus. I'd be a fan of that. How much more a fan of Georgia's chances to win a national championship were you after what you saw Saturday?
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, I don't know if it had much to do with what I saw. You know, I don't know how much you can get out of spring games. You know, it'd be different if we were able to watch the other 14 practices. But, yeah, I think they have real potential. I mean, they have the most important position, quarterback. They have experience and competence and a leader. And, you know, we can talk a little bit more about JT Daniels and how impressive he was. But I think the other thing that I don't know quite how I feel about this yet, but I think the other thing that we're going to see is just kind of like trade deadline deals. I mean, Georgia's going to be in a position to act like the Yankees on July 31st and go buy a slugger. You know, their weaknesses and their holes that they need to fill on the defensive side of the ball, especially in the secondary. They're already getting a guy from West Virginia. They can go get other dudes, and they can go get guys that are starters elsewhere with the open transfer portal. And they get great players, and it's pretty simple sales pitch, right? It's hey, I know you're starting over there. I know that's a big-time program, but we have a chance to win a national title. And I'm really anxious and curious to see how that plays out over the next couple months.
Tom, in regards to Georgia, how much pressure do you think is on Kirby to not only win the East every year, but to play for the SEC championship and finally get a title there in Athens?
That's a fantastic question. I was thinking about that recently. I think, you know, living in Atlanta and having some Georgia friends as neighbors and such, I think it's less than most people care to admit. I mean, they haven't won a national title since 1980. I was just talking to a buddy the other day who's a Georgia fan, and he was raving about, and this is obviously a small sample size, but he was raving about, man, I went to the Rose Bowl. I went to the national championship game. I went to the SEC championship game. Like, what? It's been an incredible run. This has been awesome. And I don't mean to paint the average Georgia fan as happy to be there, but I think it's a different level of expectation. Like, they're nationally relevant. They're in the conversation. They're in the running for national titles. But if you don't get one in the next 3 years, I think it's okay as long as you're in the mix, and I don't see why they wouldn't be in the mix. So I think it's a whole different level of pressure, or not that the expectations are any less, but they've won one since 1980. Like, it's, I think it's okay for the average Georgia fan just to be in the mix. I could be dead wrong, and maybe my friends and the guys I talk to are different, but that's how I see it from my perspective.
Tom Hart of ESPN, the SEC Network, joining us here on Three Man Front on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. So, will stadiums be at full capacity? That's been a hot topic. How many SEC stadiums will allow, 100% occupancy with their fans? But going back to last year, a lot of the folks that have been going to games for years and years and years, Tom, they weren't able to do that, and they had to consume football at home. And some of them probably found out it's a lot more convenient, no traffic, not waiting in line, not spending crazy prices, and being able to consume a lot of college football. How much of that do you think will affect the return of fans and some of those fans who might think, you know what, I kind of liked it last year. It was kind of a good setup. Does that hurt SEC football attendance coming up this fall?
Not in the slightest. And I could be proven wrong, but I think there is going to be a renewed level of excitement to have the community experience that comes with planning all week your tailgate, driving to campus on Friday morning or Friday afternoon, carpooling with your fraternity brothers and see who wants to bring the biggest cooler, tailgating before the game, all of that stuff. And as an example, I'd point to SEC baseball. And Mississippi is the best state to use as an example. And this is a politics-free show, so I am not talking about whether it's smart or right or what the long-term or short-term effects will be. All I know is that Mississippi State, as I pointed out, outdrew the Yankees Friday night, and they outdrew the Yankees all weekend. Ole Miss, the week before, had 30,000 people over a three-game series. And this is some of their – these aren't good COVID crowds for Ole Miss and Mississippi State. These are some of the best crowds they've ever had. And, yes, their teams are good. Ole Miss is top 10. Mississippi State is top 5. But I think it's more along the lines of people are just so anxious to have that game day experience that they missed out on for 12 months, no matter the sport. And so, from that perspective, I think it, if allowed by local politics, I think it comes back gangbusters. I mean, I think we see an interest in college football from in-person attendance like we haven't seen in some time. Now, that doesn't mean that, like, Wake Forest is going to sell out. We're talking strictly about the SEC, where these things matter. And people have been doing this for their entire lives, and they go to games not just with their college buddies, but with their family and generations. And I think hotel rooms are going to be through the roof. I think restaurants and bars are going to be back. I think those local economies are going to really enjoy the uptick in the level of excitement that we'll see next fall.
Before we continue this interview, I have to know, just, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm on the golf course.
Okay. Really sounds good. Like he's making shaved ice.
Or underwater, one or the other.
Making shaved ice?
That's what it sounds like.
It sounds a little bit like you're scuba diving, to be honest, the background of your phone. But golf course probably more fun. We had a listener ask. It's okay. We had Josh Brooks on earlier, and UAB will travel to Athens this coming season, and they wanted us to ask Josh the best places to eat in Athens. But we got the question a little bit late. You've been to Athens as much as anybody over the last few years. What are some go to dining spots for our UAB fans? They're going to be making that trip.
Oh, great question. Our friends at Clyde Bar, they're fantastic. And if you like what they do, Chuck's Fish is
the avocado
even
thing.
More diverse.
Really
menu.
Good.
Yeah, they have the shrimp deal. Come on, that's good. Last Resort is kind of an Athens staple. There's a soul food place that gets rave reviews that I've never been to, but kind of hole in the wall joint, and I have to look it up, that is also top of the list. I throw
it's
that one
worse.
Out there, too. I mean, a lot of great options.
I just hope you survive your golfing trip today, because it sounds dangerous.
I'm flying on the surface of Mars. It is so windy out here. Thanks, everybody.
St. Andrews. Tom Hart. Oh.
Maybe he was joining in body shaping.
That sounded like it did. It sounded like he was in a shaved ice trailer. He had like a big order and
playing
a lunchtime rush.
Tatooine or something.
Joining us on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline, zero sugar, zero carbs, only 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple.
This is Three Man Front.